Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Junk Baller Podcast. We're back. My name is Michael Greenwood, and I'm here with my good friend, Kevin Otterbein. Kevin, how you doing? You're not doing too well, are you?
I'd say I'm in a stoic state of mind, I think, where I'm just like not letting anything bother me anymore. It's just I've put up with enough, and I just need to suppress my emotions and not let anything get to me. And I'll be happier that way, right?
I think you and I can agree that we're trying to move on from the 2024 season. That's kind of why we took a little bit of a break.
I didn't
want to talk baseball.
No. And as you all know what happened.
Let's give them a 2-minute recap at most.
Yes. I mean, it's the World Series. It's deserving of at least some discussion, even though at first I was kind of in a peaches mode, like in the last podcast, where I just didn't want to discuss it. And it wasn't the World Series that I wanted, certainly, but it also wasn't the one that MLB wanted either. Mm. They only won 5 games.
They really wanted at least 6. They wanted to go back to LA,
and that didn't happen. And it was the classic Yankees problems that they've had all year long. No offense, giving up leads late, and especially that game 5 where it epitomized all that with the fielding.
Yeah, I think the fielding was the big thing. Like, it was just dumb things.
Yeah.
I
mean, they had a little offensive explosion in game 4, big deal.
Yeah.
But they should have won game 1. I think they could have won game 3, and they had game 5 in the bag. They had a 5-run lead going into that 5th inning.
Yeah.
And then Judge drops the ball, and Rizzo and Cole don't calibrate well on that play at first base.
Not at all.
Like, what happened there? I mean, the pitching did fine, I guess, the starting pitching. But, yeah, I think it just showed, on the one hand, the Yankees not living up to the hype, but also it showed the Dodgers living up to their reputation, too. Because I feel like from beginning to end, they kind of owned this series. And if everybody was healthy, it wouldn't even worse.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because Dodgers were missing pretty much half the rotation that they projected to be in the starting rotation at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And even then, like, you guys didn't Flaherty didn't do well in the World Series, did he?
He did.
He did?
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the championship game. Sorry.
Well, what I was talking about, I think, in the previous podcast was, like, you know, Frey Freeman was going to be limited. Then he hits the walk-off in game 1.
Yeah.
I talk about the Yankees having to get to the starting pitching, and they don't get it done. Flaherty comes in, Yamamoto, they both shut them down.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. We just want to give a quick recap. You know, did we get the predictions right?
I did not. I said Yankees in 7. I think you said Dodgers in 6. So you were closer than
I was. Close.
I mean, in the back of my mind, I felt like the Dodgers are going to win, but I kind of wanted to, I didn't want to choose against my own team in the World Series. Yeah. I guess that was my thought.
Yeah. Like reverse psychology type thing. Oh, yeah, no, as long as the Dodgers are going to win.
Yeah.
You know, that way you're just setting yourself up for it's not going to hurt as bad.
Yeah. So, I mean, on the one hand, I'm grateful that they finally got over the hump and made it to the World Series, but it was a rough World Series.
Not enough.
It wasn't enough, yeah.
No, I didn't really much enjoy the World Series as much as I thought I did. It was better than last year's, even though I didn't watch a ton last year. I don't know if I watched more than a game or two.
Well, they both had game 1 walk-offs.
Yeah. I mean, Freddie Freeman kind of established himself as, I know Yankee fans probably hate him, but he's probably the most hated in Yankee in terms of being, Yankee fans probably hate him the most out of any fans right now. I mean, I feel like Phillies fans kind of respect him.
I respect Freeman.
Yeah. Well, you respect him more of like, with the general, be like, ah, oh, Freddie Freeman. Like, because he had a walk-off.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't know. Just my opinion. But we're moving on from 2024. We're putting in the rearview mirror for the 2024 season. Both our teams ended in disappointment, even though one of us, we both made the playoffs. We did not, but the thing is, one of us is going to be disappointed regardless. Mm-hmm. You know, even if, because our expectations were so high, you know, you got Soto at the beginning of the year, and the Phillies, they didn't really do anything in offseason last year other than re-sign some guys in small moves.
Yeah.
But
the Phillies got off to a really hot start at the beginning of this year.
Yeah. It was almost too good to be true at that point. You're like, this is too good. Like, they're the best team, not by far, but they felt like the best team. And they were fairly healthy. Like, they had a couple, like, Trey Turner was out for a little bit, Harper was out for a little bit, Schwarber was out for a little bit. But, you know, bullpen was amazing in the first half. Second half, shaky a little bit. And everyone talks, we talked about this in the last podcast, everyone was blaming the bullpen for the reason why we lost. And I just like, yeah, they're a part of it. Yeah, they didn't deliver, but they can't be under a microscope and every pitch be so important when the offense can't score.
And yeah, well, I think that's just a lot of people love the lineup and the players that are in it. They love Harper. They love Schwarber. They love Trey Turner. They love all those guys. So I feel like fans would kind of like be more hesitant to criticize them. And especially like Real Muto, who had a terrible NLDS.
Yeah, so I would say that Schwarber and Harper are probably the two right now that are not untouchable, and they don't get a lot of slack just because Schwarber, the one thing with Schwarber is that we know what he's going to do. We're not expecting him to do anything else, and he does what he's supposed to do. Harper does what he's supposed to do. Turner, he hasn't lived up to the contract so far with hit. Castellanos is so streaky, and he swings at the stupidest pitches. And then everyone else is kind of just like, they're okay, like, but they've gotten, we're kind of getting upset a little bit with them. Like, the vibes were crushed with this team, and we're like, something needs to change, because just something needs to change based off of it. But anyway, like we said, we're moving on. We're putting in the past. We're looking to the off season right now. This isn't going to be a free agency episode. No. While free agency is happening, and probably one of the players in baseball, Juan Soto, is probably going to get one of the biggest, if not the biggest, contract in MLB history.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a free agency. We will talk about Soto in a second, but we have some updates in the offseason. But in a little bit, we're going to talk about what we are thankful for in baseball.
Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot to be thankful for.
Because it is a week from Thanksgiving, a week yesterday, and we just were like, you know what? We are thankful for a lot of things in baseball. We definitely have some opinions that we don't like, or things we don't like in baseball, but we're very thankful for baseball. So we'll get to that in a little bit. Just wanted to give you a little preview. But there's a couple updates that are happening in baseball during the offseason. There was a hurricane that went through St. Petersburg Clearwater, where the beloved Tampa Bay Rays play, and their roof came off their stadium. Not just like something fell off. The roof is completely torn away. You could see us from the aerial view. You could literally just look down and see the entire baseball field. It was kind of weird to see, given that everything else was kind of okay in that area.
That's what you get for using tarp as a roof. I mean, that's what happened with the Metrodome, if you remember that. They blew up the roof, and then there was a big snowstorm, and the whole thing caved in.
Yeah. So it just blows my mind. I was talking with Kev just a little bit before we started. The Rays really have had a couple bad years with, not in terms of just like the team being bad, but they had the Wander Franco situation, then a couple of their free agent signings that haven't worked out, and then just haven't been like the Rays that we thought, like, oh, they're the scrappy team that's going to be really good. They haven't been. And then this happens with their roof when they're trying to build a new stadium for 2028, which as of not like 2 or 3 days ago is apparently not going to be ready for the 2028 season, which was originally planned. So not only is their stadium right now unplayable, the stadium that they're trying to build is not going to be ready for when they plan to be ready for it. And you know why that is the worst for them? Because they have to go and play apparently in the spring training facility of their rival, the New York Yankees.
Yep, they're playing at Steinbrenner Field for 2025. It's official. They get to play. Yankees get to play more home games this year.
Yeah, it was like 10,000 seat capacity.
More like 7,000 or 8,000.
That's That's not huge, but it's going to be a sellout. Pretty much what they would do at Tropicana Field anyway.
I doubt if they would even fill some of those seats for some of those games, even there.
I think they'll probably get sellouts.
I mean, they'll get sellouts, I think. But I think there'll still be games where they don't sell out seats there.
Oh, probably. Which is sad. Yeah. But you know how they have the stats where it's like, oh, number of sellouts, and like, but then they have the like average attendance with it.
Yeah.
Their average attendance is going to be like 5,000, but they're probably going to lead the league in sellouts just because they'll have so limited seats. Yeah. Like, there was games with the White Sox and the A's this past year where, like, it was barely over a couple thousand.
Even, like, a couple hundred. Like,
yeah, there was one game where I think it was a, like, rescheduled game. There was, like, the guy when they started the game, he was like, I'm pretty sure there's maybe, like, 100, 200 people here.
It was, like, a COVID game.
Yeah, it's pathetic. Might as well put, what was it,
Like the teddy bears and the placards of the people behind
home plate. The poster boards of the people that was what a weird time. What a weird time.
That was, and it's a weird time right now. And there was news today that initially the city of St. Petersburg was going to approve spending $23 million to repair the roof, and they retracted on that. They reversed it.
How much was it going to cost? Did it say?
It said $23 million to repair the roof.
Gosh.
They changed because they wanted to delay consideration of revenue bonds for the new Rays ballpark.
Man.
I hate
politics.
The team has an obligation, should the stadium get fixed, to play there for three more seasons.
Dang. Okay. All right.
2028, right? You said for the new Rays stadium.
Yeah, okay. Man, this is not good for the Rays. This is going to be a rough couple years for the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah.
They pretty much just want to get to 2030 at this point.
2030.
Like they're proud. Like any free agent, you wouldn't want to go sign there. You don't want to go, I don't want to go play in Steinbrenner Field for a couple years or have a stadium be in limbo and all that. It's not good. It's not good time to be any member of the Rays organization, whether player, coach, front office. It's just, it's not going to be fun. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when you saw the first time the roof off after the hurricane?
I did. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah. It was kind of like that bridge thing that happened a little bit ago where the boat ran into the bridge.
You're like, what?
That happened? Like, you thought that the roof would be fine going in, like a hurricane. It's been through a hurricane before.
Yeah.
What happened this time?
That's how I felt about to go back to the Metrodome example. It's like, Minneapolis has had to have giant snowstorms like that. So what happened here where the roof just collapses in on itself after a snowstorm?
Yeah. And, you know, I was talking about this with my brother earlier. How the heck is Target Field not a retractable roof or a dome? It's going to, like, you're going to be playing games in early April, late March. In Minnesota.
Yeah.
That's pathetic.
It's pretty cold.
It's really, I mean, it's definitely snowed during opening day a couple times, even in Detroit, too. But, sorry,
go ahead.
We've talked about retractable roofs before. I've kind of swayed away from that. I can see it. I cannot see it.
Because you went to an average retractable roof stadium.
But I've been in domes.
Yeah.
I've been in domes, and, okay, what's the best retractable roof stadium? Do I go to Safeco? That's not Safeco. It's T-Mobile Park.
I still call it Safeco. It's T-Mobile Park.
Oh, also, Minute Maid Park's going to get renamed into something. I totally forgot about that.
Oh, it's like...
It's so bad. But it couldn't happen to a better organization. I saw the news. Houston is going to get a new stadium name for this season.
Daikin Park?
Oh, God. That's terrible.
What's a Daikin?
Well, it's...
Is that like some stupid insurance company?
There's that one. There's, White Sox. Guaranteed rate field. What the?
American Family. Oh, in God. Milwaukee.
These stadium names suck.
Yeah.
Like, I know when the Citizens Bank Park came out, we weren't like, ah, that's okay. But at least it's like, it's not bad. Guaranteed rate. Like, it's just talking mortgages or whatever.
Daikin is a Japanese air conditioner manufacturer.
What?
Well, I guess if you're in Houston, you need a lot of air conditioning.
Are they trying to sway Japanese players to come and play in their stadium? Neither, oh, yeah, we have a...
They're trying to get Ohtani to go there.
Hey, come play in our stadium. It's named after where you're from. Like, that's so... Jeez.
No, I get the part about playing outside of Minnesota. As someone who's been to games in cold weather, it's miserable. I've been to games where it snowed, and it's the worst.
Yeah. Wait, really? You've been to a game that snowed?
Mm-hmm. At the old Yankee Stadium years ago, I went to a game in early April, and it snowed.
Yeah.
I mean, it was interesting to see, because, like, wow, I never watched baseball in the snow before. But after 5 minutes, the magic kind of wore off. It's This is why it's a summer, spring, warm weather sport.
Football can be played in the snow. Like, last night, did you see any of the highlights of the game last night?
I did, yeah.
It was... The second half was actually a fun part. Like, Jameis Winston, man, he is a piece of work. He's got some quotes. But, so that's the Rays stadium update. It's not a good time to be a Rays fan. I mean, I don't know any Rays fans, nor have I ever met one, I don't think, other than when I was...
Shocker.
Other than when I was actually in Tampa for a Rays game. But let's move on to...
I thought we already established that Florida sports fans don't exist.
Yeah, they're all transplants. There's probably more Yankee fans in Florida than there are Rays fans.
Oh, I would bet a lot of money on
absolutely.
That.
Yeah, 100%. So, in the offseason, Rob Manfred hasn't done a lot of good things, in my opinion, with baseball.
I agree.
He's done some okay things, in our opinion, but mostly not something that... Rob Manfred's not going to the Hall of Fame or loved by fans. Something that has been a very big conversation piece is the state of umpires in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
How many missed calls there are, how umpires' egos are really hurt and all that. But the thing is, MLB umpires have a great union that has fought for them for a while and is going to be strong on this. But in spring training this upcoming season, they're going to test robot umpires out. And if it goes well, it sounds like they are going to possibly implement them the following season in 2026. What are your reactions to this?
Have you seen it in person yet?
I haven't seen... I've seen the challenge call where a player has the opportunity to, like, tap his helmet.
Yeah.
And then he challenges pitch and the call is reversed or something like that, which I actually am in favor of. I think that's good. The robot umpires. Sorry. I wanted to ask your, you asked
me that. Well, I asked that because I went to the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs last year and they implemented it in AAA.
Okay.
So they have robot umpires there and I liked it.
Yeah.
Because it was really quick. Like you said, it was just like a quick challenge.
Yeah.
And it takes like a second or two of review and you get the right call.
Yeah. So they instituted the challenge thing or with the pitch or did they introduce robot umpires?
They used the automatic strike zone thing last year or like, it was a challenge thing.
Okay.
I should say.
Yeah, that I'm okay with.
Yeah.
And I know that a couple of our friends would probably say, well, if you're okay with that, why are you not okay with robot umpires? It's not that I'm not okay with robot umpires because I do want the calls to get right. I do. And it would get rid of the pitch framing and everything, which is a nightmare right now. Seeing all these catchers bring a pitch from all the way outside to it ends up being inside. Oh, my God.
Oh, the Mets guy was driving
you nuts. God. Alvarez is the worst at it. God, I hate the Mets. It's more of, I don't know. I feel like I've gotten more okay with it because I don't want us to get to the point where the game is not, the essence of the game is gone. it's like we when ejections or the what is it called replay got introduced, we don't have the like angry outbursts anymore, which I'm okay with, but we're losing the passion and like I don't know how to explain this. I'm talking about this off the cuff of my head.
Would you rather have the passion lost or have things called right?
Probably called right, but the thing is, I don't want it to be a boring game either.
Who said it?
Because like with football, like part of the talk of football is like that's not a penalty, but it's controversial. Like the Eagles lost the Super Bowl because of a pass interference call. They didn't lose it, but there was a good chance that they probably would have won the game if the pass interference wasn't called. And it wasn't pass interference, but it was called. But you can't replay that. Like, it's like the human aspect of the game. Like, that is a big factor with the game. Now, if it started with robots and everything, obviously we're used to that. But it's not because we're not used to it, I feel like the change might not be as, I don't know. I'm not owning up that I might be okay with it. It's more of like I'm eager to see what it's like, because where's the strike zone and how is it measured? Like, is it there are sensors or what? Do you remember what it is?
I think it's like the middle of the plate, like wherever the ball crosses there.
No, but in like terms of a player. Because Jose Altuve versus Aaron Judge, the strike zones are different.
Oh, that's what you mean.
Yeah.
Oh, like, it's the bottom of the insignia or the logo.
Yeah, but yeah. How is it measured? I'm just genuinely asking. How do you know? How is it like a laser system or something like that? Because what if there's a malfunction or something like that?
That I'm not sure of.
Yeah, that's where I get. I'm like, all right, is it gonna be? It's just a box. That's a strike zone, or is it going to be based off each and individual player? Because then each and every individual player has a different strike zone.
Yeah.
And the computer has to recognize that and whatever. And I'm interested to see how it goes.
Yeah.
Part of me is like, I hope it goes terrible, but it's going to happen. I just see this happening. We're like, all right, yeah, we're going to do this. But the MLB Umpires Union, it's going to be fighting probably pretty hard for this to not get through, just because are they going to lose? They're not going to lose jobs because of it, but you're not really necessarily need to go to umpire school for like calls, balls and strikes. You're just like, hey, that's a strike. Hey, that's a ball.
Yeah. So, the collective bargaining agreement for the Umpires Association expires in a few days on December 1st.
Oh, really?
So an agreement would have to be reached with them, too.
Oh, man. Wow. All right.
And those unions, man, that there's a reason why Angel Hernandez had a job for so long, because of the unions.
See, that's the thing. We wouldn't be talking about Angel Hernandez if we had robot umpires.
Yeah.
Like, all the jokes. And I know that's, like, silly to think about, but it's part of the game. Like, we're slowly losing part of what baseball is. I know, like, oh, you got to advance. You got to be part. You got to progress with the times. And I have no problem with that.
Well, we'll move in the groundskeeping or something. They'll be, like, the dancers at Yankee Stadium that do the YMCA in the seventh inning.
It's like when NFL still uses the chains for, yeah. Like, it's like that, where it's like, yeah, it's just how it's been. Like, yeah, it probably should be like in terms of, electronic, but I don't know. What if the freaking, it's just another stoppage of play where, oh yeah, the MLB umpire strike zone thing is not working and they have to get a new one or something like that. It's just all those times where like with the pitchcom things, it's just like, God.
Well, that's why they're trying it right now.
Yeah, I know.
So we don't know what it's going to look like yet for Major League Baseball.
Well, they tried the pitchcoms.
Well, I'm talking about the strike zone.
Yeah. Those pitchcom things die so many times.
Yeah.
They are terrible.
They're bad.
How are they that bad? You're a billion-dollar organization.
Yeah.
Business. What the heck? It dies at least once a game. Mm. At least once a game. I want to actually look at that stat. How many pitchcoms violations, or not violations, died? Yeah. Part of it, I think, is strategy too. But mm-hmm. All right. So Robot Empire is getting tested.
Yes.
Let us know your thoughts on that. I know Taylor, our good friend, who has told me, just accept it, man. Get the calls right. I want the calls right. I'm like, yeah, I know. I want the calls right. But I don't want this game to be just like, oh, yeah, like, that's a I don't know. Maybe because the pitcher will have to affect, I don't know. But a catcher's job gets less interesting and framing.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah. I'm kind of leaning on Taylor's side with this because I've seen how one call can change everything.
Yeah.
Like it's just a little bit off. Like, I was watching a clip from the 98 World Series where there's like this egregious ball three call, which could have been strike three, and which would have ended the inning. Next pitch, grand slam.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree on that. Yeah. I agree on that. So let's talk about a guy that could be leaving your team. Well, he technically is left your team because he's a free agent.
Yeah.
But Juan Soto could be getting the biggest contract of all time.
I don't know if he will.
So this is what I've heard so far. And this is just, I think it's a rumor, but there was some people that backed it up. Apparently the Mets, when they met with him, they just threw out a number, and this was a starting number. I can't confirm this in terms of, like, accuracy, but this is what was reported. It was 14 or 15 years, $660 million. That's the first offer.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
For a first offer, I think the Mets are going to ruin this terms of free agency, because Cohen said that he's going to spend $50 million more than any team.
Other clubs offer by 50 mil, yeah.
So would he go 800 million, 900 million? Would he do that if the Yankees were like, you know what, let's go 750?
I don't know if the Yankees are going to go that high.
What if they did? But that's the thing, though. I was talking with my dad, because we were listening to John Heyman. He reported about Soto, and the deal could be a lot of deferrals, kind of like Otani's, where it's, you know, $46 million a year, maybe $50 million a year for, you know, 10 years, but then, you know, it's $15 million a year for the next, you know, 5-6 years.
Yeah, but that base salary is where the value of a player lies. So, oh yeah, like,
I know.
So like when Ohtani got $700 million, that shows him how he was a once in a generation talent as a hitter and a pitcher.
Yeah, he should.
And Soto is, I mean, don't get me wrong, Soto is really, really good.
Yeah.
But I feel like in order to get that much money, you need to be sort of on that Ohtani level.
Yeah.
And Ohtani set that standard, and I'm not sure they'll go that high unless it's the Mets. I think the Mets might do that. That's the only team I would think would try it.
Yeah, I kind of agree. The thing with Soto is he sucks at defense. So he's going to be a future DH.
He's all right at defense.
He's not good. He's okay.
He's all right.
He's okay.
He doesn't suck. He's all right.
I've seen some stuff. He's not known for his defense. All right. He's not getting $700 million, whatever it is, for his defense. He's getting $700 million, mm-hmm. whatever, plus for his bat.
Yes.
Because he's so young is the reason why teams are willing to pay all that money. If he was 2 years older, this would still be a big contract, but it would not be, because they're trying to, I think he's going to be a DH in 4 years, 4 or 5 years. He's not fast. You know, he's athletic in the sense that he's still young, but I don't know if his game transitions well on the field, but his bat is already better than most, if not almost everyone, in terms of seeing pitch recognition, being hard to strike out, hitting home runs, high average, high on base percentage. But he's not worth that first offer. I thought that would have been like a lot if that was the final offer. He's like, oh yeah, I couldn't pass this up. If that's the first offer, that's absolutely absurd.
Who did that?
Cohen for the Mets.
Yeah. No, well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Cohen is a different owner than other Mets owners in the past. He's super aggressive.
Yeah. But that's the first offer.
Yeah.
So in terms of...
And especially since the Mets made it to the NLCS this year, it's going to give them more incentive
yep.
to go after that higher pay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So in terms of contracts and total money, Otani's is number one at 700.
You could go on.
No.
I was just kept thinking about it. And they don't have Alonso right now signed.
Yeah, true. But the next in terms of total money is Trout at 426 or 425, something mm-hmm. like that. So, and that was what? That was 2019 when he signed, 2018, 2019 offseason when that was signed. So that's 5 years ago. So are we saying that Juan Soto's value is almost $200 million, has grown $200 million more than what Mike Trout was when he signed that deal with the A's, the Angels? $200 million, that's what the amount of money has increased?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I know that Scott Boras, who's Soto's agent, is going to try to set a record in one way or another, whether it's AAV, which is per year money, which I think is what he's going to go for. I don't think he's going to get the $700 million. If he gets the $700 million, that's an overpay. I think anything over five is a drastic overpay. I think the Phillies would do 10, 15 years, 550, which I'd be like, all right, that's fine.
You think the Phillies will do that?
I think they would. I don't think they're going 600, though. I don't think they are. Unless they can try to convince them to be like, hey, unless there's maybe a couple opt-outs, maybe after like the first 2 years or something like that. And it's that's a weird contract. But yeah, I heard there was going to be opt-outs and deferrals, which is always the rumor. But I feel like if I'm Soto, I kind of want to be, he was with the Nationals. They turned down that contract. Then got traded to the Padres, was there for a year. He wasn't there for a year. He got traded at the deadline, went to the Padres, went to the championship series, but then was there in a disappointing year with the Padres, second year. Then he went to the Yankees. I think he wants to be a team that wants him to be full time. Mm-hmm. This is going to be the last contract he signs. I don't think he's going to do another one. Where do you think he's going to go?
I mean, as a Yankees fan, I have an idea of where he'd like to go. I think the Yankees have a good chance. We've talked before about how he just fits in a Yankees uniform.
He does. He looks there. He's pinstripes.
He looks the part, and I feel like that ballpark is made for someone like a Soto hitter, especially as a lefty.
Yeah.
And they've had good conversations, apparently. You know, he's been talking with Steinbrenner, with Cashin, with Randy Levine, the president, and Aaron Boone. They've been having some dialogue. I think he's still going to, like, talk to other teams. I think my opinion right now is I think he does resign with the Yankees. But the Mets are going to make a super hard push. I think they'll be second. So if he doesn't go there, I think he might end up with the Mets. I think a big market team is where he wants to go, regardless. Because even the Dodgers have been talking with Soto.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? can you imagine if he went to LA with that lineup? Absolutely ridiculous.
It's one of those things where, I think I talked about this at the beginning of the year with the Dodgers. It's almost like they're doing too much where it's not going to work out.
Well, it's worked out this year.
It worked out last year, but also they had some injuries, and they just had players that they traded for players, and it got to the point where this wasn't the team that they originally went into the season with, but it worked out.
Yeah, it's still
worked
out.
Otani was MVP, Mookie was Mookie, and then Freddie was great. But everyone else just kind of did their role with it. The pitching staff was not exactly what they expected.
Hey, sometimes that's all you need, man.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
I'll go back to the 90s Yankees. I don't think they had a single MVP. They didn't have a Cy Young winner other than Clemens.
Yeah.
It was people who got the job done and fit the role, and that's what the Dodgers had last year.
Yeah. What I'm trying to say is the only times where I've seen teams go out and spend, like overspend, which is what the Dodgers did, and it's what the Yankees did in 2009, when they won the World Series in 2009. The year before, they went out and they got CeCe, and they got
AJ Burnett. And Teixeira.
Yeah. Big spending. Normally, though, it doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on just on the in the preference.
Oh, yeah. Look at the Marlins do all the
time. Yeah, the Marlins did that. The Padres did it a couple years ago. Like, obviously, the Padres.
It sort of worked out for the Padres.
But they did it in a weird way because they got rid of Soto and then they signed, they did some trades and signs. It wasn't like they, when the year that they went out and got Bogarts, they had Soto, Tatis, and they,
Machado.
Snell and all them. And we were like, oh, crap. Like, but they sucked.
Yeah.
So it's, I'm saying that more than likely, whatever, if the Dodgers did sign him, I think that'd be like, it's too much. Where they're, it's not the too much that, oh my God, they have too much talent. They're not going to be good. It's not that. It rarely works out where everything goes right with it. Last year with the Dodgers, it went right with signing Ohtani. But other than Ohtani, they just re-signed Glasnow because they traded Glasnow and re-signed him, but and you got the Yamamoto. I guess that's pretty big.
Yeah,
those are big. Yeah. So I don't know where he's going. It's hard for me to get a gauge. I know that they're pretty much big market teams only. It's Red Sox, Yankees, Mets,
Blue Jays,
Giants, and Phillies. But. And the Rays have said that they're going to, I'm like,
whoa. Not, they don't even have a stadium right
if
now.
If he signed with the Rays, that would be probably his biggest mistake he's ever made.
What's the biggest contract the Rays have ever offered somebody?
Francos.
And how much was that?
218.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah, they're never sending out a big contract ever again.
Yeah.
Ever again. Ever. So yeah, I could see him going. Do I want the Phillies to get him? Yes. Will I think they get him? Absolutely not. I think it's like a 5% chance. I think most likely he's going to be in New York, one of those teams. Either it's Queens or the Bronx. Let us know what you think about Juan Soto. Wow, we spent a lot of time on that.
We didn't even get to the award winners.
Yeah. Ohtani won MVP. Big surprise. There was no surprises.
They were both unanimous MVPs.
Yeah, like wasn't big surprises in terms of rookie of the year and everything. Wasn't really big surprises at all.
Heel won rookie of the year.
Yeah, I don't think it was a surprise.
Happy for him.
Yeah. I think the only thing that was like a surprise was, in my opinion, was the all MLB stuff. Gunnar Henderson did not get second team for shortstop, which I think was kind of a travesty. Of that, like he had better numbers in pretty much every category than Lindor. I know Lindor was second in MVP, but Gunnar was a better shortstop than Lindor was.
New York team.
Yeah, I know. And they win the championship series, and yeah. Gunnar that hurt him. But Gunnar should have been second MVP. Second. That was the only surprise that I saw. And I was like, all right, yeah, that's a little bit surprising with it.
And even the second place votes were all almost unanimous. Like Bobby Witt Jr., I think, was unanimous second vote. And
yeah.
I think it was similar in the National League as well. I forget who was second National League. MVP.
Lindor. And then Marte was third.
Yeah.
One stat that I saw with, real quick before we move on, one stat that I saw with Bobby Witt is that he's the first shortstop to ever win batting title, Silver Slugger, and Gold Glove in the same season. He's also the second shortstop to do it ever.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Not in the same season, but to have all those things, all those awards, all time. The only other shortstop was A-Rod.
Yeah.
So he did it in one season. A-Rod did it over a couple, like, in different parts of the season. And Bobby Witt didn't even win MVP. Because Judge was just ridiculous.
And Judge is the second Yankee to be both a Rookie of the Year and MVP in his career.
Yeah. I saw those stat on Bobby Witt. I was like, God, that sucks. But it's still kind of amazing that he's going to be, I hope he's good for a while. He's a fun player to watch.
He's got a lot of upside.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'll do a fun fact real quick. It's not necessarily a fact. Well, it is a fact. It's a stat. I'll name a couple just because these were some stats that I was like, this can't be real. I might have mentioned this on a different podcast. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's pretty funny. Did you know that Adam Dunn has a higher career on base percentage than Ichiro?
Is it because he walks so much?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's pretty much walk, hit, home run, or strikeout.
Yeah,
where Ichiro wouldn't walk, but he'd get base hits.
Yeah,
so he doesn't combine the two, But Adam Dunn had a... He was, I don't know if it's percentage. So Ichiro was probably on base more, but per at-bat or per, like, stat, Adam Dunn had a higher on-base percentage than Ichiro. Who is... Ichiro has the most hits in terms of professional sports if you count Japan.
And a 311 career batting average.
Ichiro's so much fun. Is he... Is he going to be unanimous when he goes in?
I think he should be.
He should be. But I don't think he will
be. For the first decade of his career, there was no one like him.
No, he really was the trend. And he also set the trend. Did he set the trend for Japanese players? Because there were Japanese players that came over before him.
He was the first like real star that was a Japanese player.
Yeah. Because there was Hideo Nomo.
Oh, what's his name?
Chung-Ho Park?
Chan-ho Park.
Yeah. Is it Chan-ho Park?
Chan-ho Park. He was with the Dodgers.
Yeah. There was another pitcher.
There was.
But he was like one of the first hitters that like actually, yeah.
I can't think of any others other than Ichiro.
Yeah. I mean, Otani's already pretty much set the records in a lot of stats already, like home runs for Japanese-born players and all that. But Ichiro is, I think I've explained this, Otani's the king right now of Japan in terms of baseball and all that. But Ichiro is a god.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. I don't think that's ever going to change. I think Ichiro is going to be like the immortal, like he's Zeus, like talked about like in Greek mythology and all that. Ichiro is pretty much a god.
And the Hall of Fame ballot's coming up soon. He's on it.
That's right. That's right. Do you want me to name another stat real quick before we go, or do you want to go to another one?
Go ahead.
Ted Williams never had 200 hits in a season.
This is because he only played in 154 games a year.
Is that what the... Was that the thing back then?
Before 1961, it was 154 games. What was the most he got?
Let me look it up. Ted Williams.
Because he was the last to have a 400 batting average in a season.
Yeah. And also, he had such good eyesight that umpires would cater to his judgment.
And don't forget, he also lost a couple of years due to World War II.
Yeah. Talk about probably one of the most interesting players to ever play baseball. The highest he ever got was 194.
Yeah.
And he got 193 as well. But God, just all the bold that is in his baseball reference is in the italics. Oh my gosh. What?
And he was an all-star almost every year of his career.
At age 41, he hit .316 with a 1.09 OPS, 29 homers and 72 RBIs in 113 games. I can't do this anymore. It's ridiculous. All right. That's fun facts for you.
Mm-hmm.
But now let's get into the junk baller section of our podcast, where we are going to explain the things that we are thankful for in baseball. Now, this isn't necessarily a ranking or anything, but it's more just five things that we're thankful for as Thanksgiving is here. You know, it's the time of just not reminiscing, but just remembering and being thankful for things.
Mm.
So... Would you like to go first? Do you want to go back and forth, or do you want to...
Not back and forth.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I had them on my phone because I did them this afternoon because I was like, ah, crap. I have to prep for my podcast.
Well, I'm going to be off the cuff, so I don't...
Oh, you didn't do any notes?
No.
Oh, man.
So
okay, I'm more
kidding.
Prepared than him. Yes. Look at that.
Yes. I'll throw one out right away that I can think of off the top of my head.
Don't throw it out. Just talk it out.
You know what? You could go first if you want.
No, you can go. You can go.
I guess the first thing I'm thankful for that's baseball related is my dad for cultivating a love of baseball from growing up. Whether it was taking me to games early, being a coach in Little League, playing catch all the time, really developing and showing for me what a beautiful game baseball is.
Yeah.
I have a lot of great memories like him driving to Yankees games. I don't know how he did it. Like, he always drove to Yankees games, you know, driving into the Bronx. And, you know, granted, parking was $12.
Yeah.
So it was a lot cheaper to go to a game at the time.
Yeah.
They still drove. Going to our grandparents' house and watching the Yankees every game, you know, or like going down to the shore and listening to the games on the radio, or even just the times where we would play catch in the yard. It's the small things too, I think, that are really important, and those are memories I'll always cherish.
Yeah, I wouldn't be sitting here today if it wasn't for my dad too. Like sitting, hey, you want to go have a catch? Yeah, let's do it. Hey, you want to go hit? Yeah, let's do it. Like I fell in love with the sport because of my dad. Like obviously I loved watching the Phillies play, and I loved playing a sport because I was just athletics. I love sports, but my dad, because my dad loved baseball so much, it was a big reason why I love baseball too. Mm. Oh man, we're getting sentimental here. Look at this. But I will say, I wasn't thinking of that when I was making this list. I'll say that, because I was thinking more of like MLB maybe in terms, not necessarily like baseball, like growing up. Because yeah, I have a lot of memories that I'm thankful for, but make me feel bad now that I didn't put my dad on there. So
you're welcome.
I agree. My dad was a huge part to what reason why I'm here today talking baseball with you. But yeah, number five, not number five, just one of the things that I'm thankful for is just different baseball stadiums. Every stadium is different.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what stadium you go to, what field you go to, whether it's Little League, everything. Sometimes the bases are a little bit misaligned in Little League. Sometimes the mound is crooked. Like Hoyser Field that I grew up playing on in the big field, the mound was crooked. They spent so much money on this complex, and I go out to the mound, and I'm like, mound's crooked. And I'm just like, oh my God, I have to go pitch on this. But you know how I want to go to every MLB stadium before I die.
Yes.
But every MLB stadium that I've been to is different in some way, and I like that it's different. I'm thankful that it's not like a basketball arena or a football stadium where pretty much they're the same in terms of how they look. Every MLB stadium is different,
mm-hmm.
and the dimensions in how far the ball travels, how the entertainment that goes on. And I know that other stadiums do that in other sports, but baseball is unique in that the dimensions are different and there's a different smell,
yes,
to a baseball field and a baseball stadium than other stadiums.
Tropicana notwithstanding.
Oh my God. Tropicana was awful. And you smell the open air now. You smell probably the beach.
Gosh.
All right. What's the next thing you're thankful for?
I think I'm thankful for minor league baseball. And it was really thinking about this when I went to the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, mm-hmm. and how different of an environment it is, but it's just such a great environment to be in. It's chill. It's cheap. Mm-hmm. It's like you get front row seats for like $10-$15. And if you're lucky enough, you go to a game where there's a major league star rehabbing. So I've been to games where like, you know, Mark Teixeira was rehabbing or Kevin Youkilis was rehabbing in Double A Trenton. That was a weird year, wasn't it? When Kevin Youkilis was a Yankee?
Yeah.
That was pretty bizarre.
Yeah, it was.
But it's a family-friendly environment too. You could bring, you know, your friends with you. And I think it's just a great alternative if you don't want to necessarily drive into Philly and pay $20 for parking and like at least $30 or $40 a ticket.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
Yeah.
It's like they're all unique, like all the unique names and the mascots and even the silly stuff they do in between innings.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different vibe and it makes baseball fun.
Yeah, I agree. I think the vibe is like it's not as intense of an environment,
yes,
as a major league stadium. Obviously because it's smaller. I think it's sillier too.
Yes.
Like it's a little bit more like goofy. And, you know, let's try this, you know, like, let's try to see if this works, you know, like, kind of like the Savannah Bananas game that I went to, like, they had the baby crawl, like, did everything. Like, that's the kind of stuff that you kind of see at a minor league game.
They must have stole it from the Brooklyn Cyclones.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. What's that? The
pregnancy.
The pregnancy thing. That was so funny. If you give birth at the stadium, you get tickets for life, yeah. Right? What a promotion.
But that's one of the great things about minor league baseball. They don't take themselves that seriously.
No.
That's what's fun.
Yeah, I think that's what's good about it. And they're not like they're affiliated in some way with the team, but they're independently budgeted and like funded, right? I think.
it's a weird setup. Yeah. And the minor league system's just weird because there's affiliated teams and then there's separate independent leagues dotted around the country.
Yeah, like the Lancaster Barnstormers. Yeah. Like, they're not affiliated with the Phillies or Yankees or Orioles, any team that's in
It's just its own league.
It's just its own league.
That's a great stadium, too, if you ever get to go.
Yeah. Oh, I was playing. I told you. Long story.
Yeah.
All right. Next thing that I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for walk-offs.
Yeah.
You know, there's... I don't think there's anything better in sports. You know, you have a Hail Mary that gets caught, or you have a game-winning shot. A walk-off is just better, especially when it's like a no-doubter, too, because you just... the tensions are high. You could be down. It's either a tie game or you're down. And you gotta score one run. Normally walk-off home runs. I think walk-off home runs. Actually, no. Just walk-offs in general. I'm very thankful for. I think I'd rather, other than probably seeing a perfect game or a no-hitter, I think I'd rather see a walk-off more than anything.
Hmm.
Because obviously a no-hitter in perfect games history, but a walk-off, I don't think it gets any better because you leave the stadium, you're just like, man, that was fun. That was fun. It's just that moment. It's like that pure like excitement of surprise and, oh my God, we just won the game. And I've been to a couple walk-offs. It's just the excitement of it. I'm just very thankful for him. It hits different than a lot of other things in baseball.
Yeah. I've been to walk-offs for almost every team I've watched except for my own.
Really?
So, like, even, like, the Rays, like, they were down 7-0. They came back and won that game. I was there for that.
You were there for one of the Phillies ones.
I was there for two Phillies ones.
Which one? Yeah, I remember the Blue Jays one.
The Yankees one.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, I've been to two.
Yeah, the one where DJ LeMahieu hit a home run and then Chapman blew the save. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, I've been to a couple walk-offs. I only thought I'd been to one.
Yeah, I've been to two of those and... I think the one Yankees one I could have been, it was the Jeter game, which I left early from, so I didn't even see that. So,
gosh.
No, I agree.
That's why you never leave a game early.
Well,
I know
it wasn't totally
I know
my
decision. Yeah, I know the situation.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
All right, your turn.
I am thankful for a very particular thing. Well, I'll speak more broadly at first. Depending on which ballpark you go to, there's definitely an interesting mix of concessions at stadiums, right?
Yeah.
So back in the day where you kind of just had, you know, hot dogs and burgers and Cracker Jacks. Who eats Cracker Jacks anymore?
I don't know. But
do they still sell them at games?
But isn't
it's like buy your peanuts and Cracker Jacks. People definitely eat peanuts at games.
Yeah. I don't know if I've had Cracker Jacks once.
I think I did too. Years ago at the old stadium. But I think the thing I'm thankful for concession wise is the little souvenir cat ice creams. It's both a souvenir and a dessert.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong.
Well, you
with
don't
that.
Eat the cup.
No. Though you keep it.
It's a vessel.
Yeah. It's a vessel for it. But after you're done with your ice cream, you get to keep it as a souvenir.
Yeah.
And if you want to put more stuff in it, like ice cream or other foods, you can do that.
I completely agree. It's versatile. It's cute. It's great. I love it.
And they're not expensive. And some ballparks are like, some things are like, you got to buy a beer for like $15, $20. You get this little souvenir cup for like $5 or $6.
Yep. I completely agree.
After you have a beer, you just throw the can away.
You know what they should? Yeah. I agree. You know what they should do? They should make it like actual like helmet size, like adult helmet sized ones. And like, you're like, yeah, if you do that, you eat all of the ice cream, like you get free tickets for, you know, because that's like, you fill it up. That's a lot of ice cream.
Yeah. Well, even just me, just like a bowl for like chicken fingers or fries or something.
Yeah.
The Yankees have like that giant cup where they have chicken fingers and fries. Why don't they do that with a little helmet?
Yeah. Yeah. Phillies, Yankees, call us up. We got some ideas for you.
Yeah.
We got some ideas for you.
I do expect to be appropriately compensated for my idea, though.
How much are you getting compensated?
I'll leave that for the negotiating table.
10%?
I'll leave that for the negotiating table.
Yeah, you got to get higher than that. Yeah. I also was going to have... Originally, I had food, like stadium ballpark food, on my list, but I changed it out because I think it's hit or miss with it. And while I am thankful for ballpark food, it's just too expensive. Like, I like Dollar Dog Night when it had it, but like you said with the beer, like, I think last time I went to Citizens Bank, I think I paid like $20 for a can of beer. Now, ridiculous. It was a 19 ounce, so like it was almost like $1 an ounce, but it was a good beer. I'll say that. It was not worth $20, though. Was not. But I am thankful for the Phillies' good uniforms, because there are sometimes teams that I see that have god-awful uniforms. Like, Phillies have the powder blue, they have the red pinstripes, they have the creams, and they have their road jerseys are fine. But the uniforms are good. And, you know, you see some team, like, I'm trying to think of teams that I don't like the uniforms are for. I don't like the Giants. Like, I don't like the Giants uniforms. I just don't like them. What other teams do I not like? I don't know. It doesn't matter. There are teams that I just don't like the uniforms, but I'm happy that I like the Phillies uniforms, and they're good uniforms. Like, powder blues are arguably the best jersey in baseball. Like, you like them a lot. I know a lot of other people who aren't Phillies fans that like the powder blues.
Mm-hmm.
And I think good uniforms really just, it's marketable. It's soothing to look at. You know, it's not necessarily like, wow, that's a, I know the City Connects are just god awful and yes. I don't like them, but the Phillies overall have good uniforms, and I'm very thankful for that. I don't have to like, I hate it. It's like the football. Like, I would hate to have the Jets uniforms. I don't like the Jets uniforms. Or what are some other bad jerseys or uniforms in sports?
The Broncos throwbacks. The like the brown and yellow.
Or the Pittsburgh like Bumblebee uniforms. Yeah. Like, yeah, like just, well, the Phillies and Eagles and Sixers, they've had bad uniforms. But I'm like, in terms of like the rotation of like uniforms the Phillies have, I like them a lot, and I'm very thankful that I don't have to be like, it's just Friday night home games. I have to be like, oh, I have to sit through the City Connect jerseys, but maybe they'll be gone in a couple of years and don't have to worry about it. Like the Nationals are getting rid of the cherry blossoms, which is a shame.
Yeah.
All right. What else are you thankful for? Oh, you had two more, right?
Yes, I do.
You're just trying to figure out which one you want to do next.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a ranking.
No, I know.
But saving the best for last.
Well, I think as a part of our podcast, we had to have our computers up a lot because we had to look up different statistics, different news stories. I am so thankful to have Baseball Reference.
Yes.
Baseball Amen. Reference is a godsend, not just for the podcast, but for my statistical sports life in general. They are thorough.
Mm-hmm.
You could look up absolutely anything going back to like the 1870s. Like, do you want to know what, Bad Boy Bob did in 1885 for the Cleveland Spiders?
Bad Boy Bob. We're going to get merchandise out for Bad Boy Bob.
DVB. Oh. for the Cleveland Spiders in 1886 or something. If you want to know how many people he struck out in July. You can do that.
I'm looking up to see if there's actual Bad Boy Bob.
There's some interesting 1800s names. But if you want to look up, you know, the stadium attendance for 1 year and the rankings for that, if you want to find out how many All-Stars people made, if you want to find out some random statistic like rainy day strikeouts, you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But it's probably possible. But I'm very thankful for that, particularly for my own fan life, but also for the podcast, because it's indispensable.
Yeah. I just can't get Bad Boy Bob out of my head. I don't know what it is, but I looked it up. There's no Bad Boy Bob in baseball. Bob Gibson came up as one of them. Also, Bob Marley.
Well, apparently he was a pretty bad boy, though.
Yeah, I loved Bob. I love Gibson. If I could go back and watch Bob Gibson, I would. Oh, my gosh. But Bob Marley also came up in my thing, too. I was like, what is this going on? There is a Bad Boy Bob in general, but I don't know if we want to. He's one of the four captains of the Hoodlum Dolls.
I think we found a name for this episode.
No. But Bad Boy Bob will definitely be talked about again. He's, what the heck? All right, I'll go next. This is something that not only I think I've really come to be thankful for the last two or three years, because there are some teams that have some really, 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 really bad owners,
mm-hmm.
and they are stuck with it because they can't do anything. Because Pittsburgh, like, that guy's not spending money. Like, the A's owner, all these owners, they don't spend money. They don't care about the team. They'll get their revenue sharing. As long as they make a profit, a little bit of profit, they're fine. But then you have owners that actually want to freaking win, and they want to bring home that trophy because they actually care about the teams and the fans.
Mm-hmm.
John Middleton, I'm not thankful for him specifically. I'm thankful for good ownership and good front office teams. John Middleton has said time and time again, you know, he makes the quote that, you know, nobody cares about, you know, the Yankees when they won so many times. Nobody cares how much they were paid, but they were remembered because they won the World Series, and that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to lose money to win a World Series, then I'm going to do it. That's what he said time and time again, and I'm thankful because it means that I get to watch a good product on the baseball field. And being a guy who just loves baseball, and being able to watch a team that's competent and is always going to be winning, or at least puts a good product out in the field, it makes me happy. And I'm very thankful for that, because if I was a fan of the A's or the Rockies or the Angels, like, that would be miserable.
Yeah.
Or the Marlins. Like, I would have been fighting that Skip Schumacher shouldn't have been fired for years. I probably would have written a letter to the front office, like, this is a joke. You shouldn't have also fired what was the GM?
Was it Kim Ng?
Kim Ng, yeah.
Yeah.
She was doing a fantastic job.
Yeah.
But they let her go because they got to have a fallback. And then when they let go of Ng, Schumacher was gone because the GM always wants to have his own coach. So, good ownership. I'm very thankful for that. And I'm probably sure that you probably are happy about that too.
Yes, I am. I mean, I have my complaints, but at least they're not, you know, one of these other teams, you know. I mean, at least they're not Nets ownership.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Nets ownership is a train wreck, has been a train wreck since the early 2000s. So, yeah, you definitely need to be thankful for it. You don't realize what you have until it's either gone or you look at someone else's situation. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful I have an owner that actually cares about the team and the product on the field.
Yeah. Like the Panthers a couple years ago when they got bought, their current owner is a piece of work. He's like thrown alcohol at some of the people at games, and he's fired people just because he just wanted to fire them without any reason. I'm like, this owner is not. I mean, look at Jerry Jones for the Cowboys. Like, he is too power struck. And they will never win a Super Bowl until he's gone, unfortunately. Actually, fortunately. Thank the Lord. All right, what's your last one that you're thankful for?
My last one, I think, is Camden Yards for a couple reasons.
Wow. Whoa.
No. First of all, because it's a great ballpark.
It is. It is a fantastic ballpark.
It's a tremendous ballpark. It's easy to get to travel. You have Utah Street with all the different stores and shops.
Mm-hmm.
They have the open concourses, or like on the first level. Not as much on the outdoor levels, and the seats are great.
Yep.
And the atmosphere with the city in the background, the skyline. It's a beautiful ballpark.
Yep.
On a different level, I'm thankful for Camden Yards because it stopped the era of like concrete, modernistic, cookie cutter, bland, no one cares about ballparks that we were seeing in the 70s and 80s. Camden Yards helped reverse that trend. So the reason why we have like PNC Park, we have Citizens Bank Park, we have even like Minute or Daikin Park or whatever.
Oh my God. What a joke.
The reason we have Coors Field, even like the new Yankee Stadium to some extent, and Citi Field, it's all because of Camden Yards and the trend that they set. So I'm extremely thankful for Camden Yards on those levels.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I didn't really think about the fact that it was the first ballpark to really like not have the cookie cutter. Camden was first. Then it was
Coors Field, I think.
Coors, also current Progressive Field.
And then that was before Coors,
And then you have PNC right after that, I think. So you had all those like kind of modern, like open, not open area, but like the center field basically was, it wasn't like a circle with it. Camden Yards is so beautiful. Oh my gosh. It's, and they're all also, they're changing the dimensions again.
I'm a little thankful for that, but it's still not great.
I don't know exactly what they're doing. It looks a little, it's still a shot to hit it out in left field. It's like 380 to straightaway left field. I'm like, that's still a shot.
Yeah.
I got to look at the actual dimensions, but yeah, Camden Yards, very thankful. I agree. Last one I'm thankful for. And I was thinking about this for a little bit just because, you know, it's been, it's coming up on 2 years that we've been doing the podcast. I think it'd be in March. I think we're doing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been fun. And, you know, you and I met back in 2013.
Yeah.
So it's been over 10 years since we've, and I knew that you love baseball. You knew that I love baseball, and we've been talking for a while to do the podcast, and we would text every day about baseball news, and just, that's just basically what we would talk about. And so Kev, I'm thankful for you. You know, it's been a lot of fun to just have someone that has become my best friend and is able to just talk about baseball just for talking, like throwing caution to the wind with anything we talk about with baseball, anything with the Yankees. You know, I have a soft spot for the Yankees now. I never thought that I would have that, but being able to have someone as close as you are to be able to also have a podcast, and you know, we're friends, we have our fights and everything, but to be able to have the conversations that we have about baseball, and you know your crap about baseball. Like, I thought I knew my crap, you know your stuff. And it's always been, my love for baseball has increased since knowing you. And it's been truly a blessing to have you in my life with understanding baseball more and being able to talk about baseball just for the fun of it. Like, we're not doing this for money. We're not doing this just for, you know, we're doing this for the fans a little bit, you know, but we do this for a hobby. This is fun for us to just let our opinions and our emotions out so everyone can hear it. And I've just loved having you being able to talk baseball. And, you know, we would literally just talk via text about baseball news. I would text you about Yankees info and you'd ask about the Phillies, and you have a soft spot for the Phillies now a little bit, but I'm very thankful for you, Kev, and being able to just enjoy baseball more. Mm-hmm. So
now you're making me feel like a little bit of a terrible person.
You started off making me feel bad for not including my dad, and now you didn't even thank me. We're obviously thankful for a lot of stuff in baseball.
Yes, I know. Yeah. And the feelings are reciprocated.
Too late. It's too late. It's too late.
I think we compliment each other very well in the way, in our baseball knowledge, because a lot of my knowledge comes from the historical aspect, like different dates, different names, ballparks, all that. You are definitely more of the current era.
Yeah.
But also the rules guy.
Yeah.
So you know your rules. I mean, I know the rules too, but like when I need to ask a question about a particular like quirk about a baseball rule and what's going on, you know it.
Yeah, pretty much.
And you're able to explain that well too.
Well is a... I'm not the best with words.
Well, I understand it. I understand it, and that's enough.
Yeah. Why use fewer? Yeah. Why use?
No, this was definitely a friendship that started with baseball and has grown beyond that. But baseball is where it started from.
Oh, so. Absolutely. Yeah. I remember going to the Camden Yards. That was the first away game that I ever was at, was Camden Yards.
Really?
Yeah. Because I had never... I've always gone to Veterans Stadium or Citizens Bank as a kid, and going to Camden Yards to see the Yankees. I think it was the last series that Jeter was at Camden, and it was the Yankees Orioles.
Yes, it was.
2014. And I wore my Philly stuff, and I was like, I don't think I should be wearing Philly stuff. I think next time I go, I wore Orioles stuff the next time I went, but I think I would have to do something like more, just wear the colors of like a team that I'd root for. But yeah, it started off of us like, oh, you like baseball. Oh, you really like baseball. We can be friends. That's how I become friends with people now. Like, hey, I like baseball. Okay, well, how much do you like baseball? If you really like baseball, that's when I'm like, all right, let's be friends. Like, I want to hear your opinions on it, and I want you to hear my opinions on it. And but yeah, it's been, I'm very thankful for it. And yeah, so that's what we're thankful for. And you know, if you're listening to this on Thanksgiving before you eat and stuff yourself, there you go. That's what we're thankful for. And you can share it around Thanksgiving table. Hey, this is what the Junk Baller podcast guys are thankful for. Yeah. And, you know, we got a little sentimental with Kev being thankful for his dad and me being thankful for Kev. And we're thankful for, you know, we're also thankful for you guys. Yes. And to, that are absolutely listening. You know, if we had like two listeners or something like that, you know, I don't think we'd be incentivized to do it. But we know that we have, you know, I don't know the exact numbers, but I know one time we had 100 people listen to one episode on one of our podcasts. So there's definitely some people that listen to our stuff, and we enjoy doing that.
Yeah.
We love hearing back from everyone. We love hearing how wrong we are, or like, oh yeah, we actually kind of agreed with that or never viewed it that way. So we are thankful for everyone that listens. And yeah, indeed. I don't think we need to do a hot take. I think we can end it there. Be thankful for the fans that listen to us.
Yeah. I mean, our main motivation, or to start it anyway, was just to talk baseball between yourself and I.
Well, yeah, we wanted a recording.
We wanted a recording of it, and then it kind of just went from there, and the fans are the motivator for it.
Yeah. I've had people from my church who are like, oh yeah, I heard you have a podcast. I'm like, I've never talked to you in my life. And there are people that I run into the mall that I haven't seen in a while. Like, I ran into, like, okay, this happened once. I shouldn't say all the time. I hadn't seen this guy in, I don't know, like 5-6 years since like high school. And he's like, oh yeah, how's your podcast going? I'm like, oh, you listen? He's like, yeah. I'm like, that's ridiculous. Whereas some of my best friends don't even listen to the podcast. But, you know, it's, you know, you do it for the fans. You don't do it for, you know, we're having fun with it. So.
Indeed.
So let's end there. So this has been our What We're Thankful For podcast. Sorry it took so long that we needed to take some breaks from talking baseball because our teams suck. But, yeah, we hope you enjoyed What We're Thankful For, and we hope you have a happy Thanksgiving. We will definitely have some episodes of in the off season. I know I have some guests that I want to reach out to and to have on to get some perspective and maybe a little bit of a different angle on things. But I think that's a good way to end a podcast. And
I think so too.
All right. We'll catch you later, everyone. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.